We should never become arrogant as God graciously chooses to use us. And although it certainly is true that God has chosen to work through us as human vessels, it is certainly not because of necessity. Rather, it's because of desire. Because of desire. God doesn't need us, but He wants us.
You have a special purpose that God has given you. And today on Connect with Skip Heitzig, Skip's son Nate Heitzig shares why it's so important to live out that purpose in Jesus and how to do that. After that, Skip and his wife Lenya encourage you to get involved in a great ministry that is caring for kids around the world and sharing God's love with them.
Well, I think that God calls us to love our neighbor, but also to love our enemies. And His love for us is extravagant. It's an unconditional love.
I love that.
And one of my favorite books in the Bible when I got saved was James, and it was talking about being doers of the word, not just hearers only.
Thanks, Skip and Lenya. Be sure to stay tuned after today's message to hear the full conversation. Now we want to tell you about a resource that will help you pray with courageous expectation.
No wonder the guys asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. We need direction, or we would still be saying, "Now I lay me down to sleep."
But instead of just praying, "God, would you do this for me?" a dangerous way to pray is, "God, what can I do for you?"
Terrific idea, don't you think? That's Craig Rochelle from his book, Dangerous Prayers. And this is our summer resource offer. Seriously, this book could bring a major milestone in your life.
Over your lifetime, I believe that if you're a follower of Jesus, there will be certain messages that when you hear them, you encounter God in such a way that it literally changes the trajectory of your life.
Unlock your prayer potential with Craig Rochelle's book, Dangerous Prayers. It's our gift to you when you give $35 or more today to help keep this ministry on the air. Request your copy when you give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer. Or you can call 800-922-1888. Now, another clip from Craig's book, Dangerous Prayers.
The prayer of availability as we pray a very, very dangerous prayer. Let me tell you, when you pray this prayer, God could direct you in a lot of different ways. He may lead you to go to a different city. He may reveal a calling in your life that you never, ever expected before. He may lead you to stay somewhere when you just knew you were supposed to go somewhere else.
Get Dangerous Prayers by Craig Rochelle at connectwithskip.com/offer. Or you can call 800-922-1888. Now, this challenge.
When you make yourself available to God, it's an incredibly dangerous prayer we're going to learn to pray today.
Okay, we're in Romans chapter 12 as Nate Heitzig starts today's study.
Some people tell us that this power and these miracles were only for the early church, that they're no longer available today, that after the scripture was completed, these supernatural signs ceased to exist. And this theology is called cessationists. They believe that once the scripture was completed, once the scripture was made whole, there was no longer any use for certain gifts of the Spirit, which, by the way they choose what gifts are valid and which gifts aren't, to me, is a whole nother issue. It's like, well, that one's good, that one's bad, that one's scary, so that one's bad, that one doesn't exist anymore. But they say, once the scripture came, there was no longer any use for the gifts, because what the gifts did, the word now does in its place. And so there's no longer a use for the gifts. And the most often used proof text that they use is 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 10. And it says this: "Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come," I want you to underline that word perfect, I want you to keep that in your mind, perfect, "then that which is in part shall pass away." And this passage goes on to explain that right now we see in a mirror dimly, but there's coming a time when we're going to see face to face. That right now we know in part, but there's coming a time when we will know Him even as we are known. See, the defining word that dictates this text and what this text means is the word perfect. Let me ask you, what do you think this word perfect refers to? Well, many cessationists say that this word perfect refers to the scripture. That when the scripture is fulfilled, when it is perfect, then these gifts will pass away. But let me ask you a question, because if that's the case, then all of these things should be true. Do you think that right now, You know God exactly the way that he knows you? I don't. And I'm up here talking, so if I don't, there's a big problem. Do you think that right now you're perfect? That you're perfect just as he is perfect? Do you think that right now you see God face to face? Because I don't. If you're seeing God face to face, you got to let me know what's going on, because I want to try that. Or actually, I don't want to try that because it's probably super weird. See, if this means the completion of Scripture, then that means that our knowledge of God and his word as believers today exceeds that of John and Paul, who wrote the Scripture. That would also mean that we are superior to the early church, because that means that we are now in a position in which we know face to face. And that we know, even as we are known, God, because we have the Scriptures. Let me ask you, when do you think you're going to know God face to face? In heaven. When do you think you're going to know God the same way that he knows you? In heaven. When do you think you're going to be perfect? In heaven. See, the logic and the absurdity behind this thought process is obvious. I would say that the word Paul uses for perfect isn't referring to the Scriptures, but rather to Jesus himself and to Jesus and Christ's return to this earth. As a matter of fact, Jesus uses the same word to describe his Father in Matthew 5:48, where he says, "Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect." As a matter of fact, Paul in this same epistle in 1 Corinthians said, "Come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ." So he says, come short in no gift, but that eventually the gifts are going to pass away. But keep using the gifts as you wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, when Jesus returns, we don't have any need for these gifts anymore. Think about it. When Jesus left the earth the first time, he said, "Hey, I'm going to leave somebody with you. His name's the Holy Spirit. He's pretty cool. He can make you do some cool things. You're going to really like him." He goes to heaven, leaves us with the Holy Spirit. It would only make sense that when he returns, he's like, "Hey, I'm back. And by the way, I'm in my glorified body. I've got crazy cool powers. That guy, the Holy Spirit, you don't need him anymore." Why? Because the power that he has that I left you with is now found in me, now that I've returned to this earth and I'm going to take you to your permanent dwelling place where he himself will rule and reign. But until that day comes, can I tell you something? I need all the help I can get. Until Jesus comes back, until the revelation of our Lord, I need all the power I can get. And the result of this power in your life lies in receiving the much needed gifts of the Holy Spirit. But understand this as well. The gifts of the Spirit are not the goal, they're the gateway. See, a lot of charismatics believe that the gifts are the goal. And they believe that every believer should be operating in all the gifts whenever they want. No rules, no regulation, just all believers should have all the gifts. And they actually point and say that if you don't have all the gifts and you don't exercise all the gifts, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's even a chance that you're not saved. But see, that's placing the gifts as the goal. But they're not the goal. The gifts are the gateway. They're not toys to play with. They're weapons to fight with and they're tools to build with. That's what the gifts are. So let me ask you, do you know what your gifts are? Do you know the gifts that God has given you? Well, let's look at our second point as we look at some of the preliminary statements that Paul makes of how we can tell what the gifts are, how we can find the gifts, and also what can impair our use of the gifts. Our second point is the impairment to your purpose. Look at verse 3 again with me. It says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." So we saw the identity of your purpose, and that we find our identity and we identify our gifts through the Holy Spirit. The second thing we see is the impairment to your purpose, and that is this: nothing can put a stop to you being used by God any quicker than pride and arrogance. When we begin to think that we're someone special, and that is why God chose to use us, that God saw something in us and he said, "You know what? because you have this personality, I'm going to give you this gift because you're just going to be better at it than everybody else. And you deserve this gift. You earned this gift. Paul tells us, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Look, it might come as a shock to you, but God could easily throw us away and replace us in the blink of an eye. And often he does. Sometimes, as a matter of fact, I wonder and I question why God chose us to begin with. I'm like, man, God, angels could have done a way better job than we can. Imagine if God just snapped and there was an angel in every single person's home holding like a 12-foot flaming sword and told them about Jesus. Everyone would be saved. Or imagine if God poked his own thread through the veil of humanity and said, hey, I'm real. The world would be saved. And yet God has chosen people to do his work among people. Now, undoubtedly, there is an issue that arises because each and every one of us is prone to hero worship to some capacity. When God used Paul and Barnabas to raise up a lame man, the people decided that Paul and Barnabas were gods, and they proceeded to worship them as such. In Acts 14:15, they respond to these men saying, men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you. And we preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them. The irony of that situation is these very men who are worshiping them only a little while later decided to stone them. We can never forget that these gifts that God so graciously instilled in our lives are given according to the grace that is given to us. Paul starts it out. He says in verse 3 at the very beginning, he says, I say, through the grace given to me. See, it's through the grace that God has given to us that he chooses to give us these gifts. They have nothing to do with a sense of merit. You don't deserve them. You didn't earn them. God gave them to you because he loves you. This is why Paul wrote that he kept himself under lest by any means when he had preached to others, he himself would be a castaway. See, the scripture is so clear in its repeated warnings against becoming prideful. We should never become arrogant as God graciously chooses to use us. And although it certainly is true that God has chosen to work through us as human vessels, it is certainly not because of necessity. Rather, it's because of desire. Because of desire. God doesn't need us, but he wants us. Dads, you should understand this. When you let your 5-year-old son help you on some kind of a project as he brings you the wrong tool every 5 minutes, and then proceeds to walk in and tell mom, hey mom, look what I built. You didn't need his help, but you wanted his help. Why? Because you love him. Not out of necessity, but out of desire. You want him to be a part of the work. You love that he goes in and takes ownership and says, mom, look what I made. You want your son, you want your daughter to rise up, to grow up, to be strong, to be independent, to have confidence. You desire that for your kids because you love your children. I've come to realize that God can get the job done so easily without me. Probably easier. It's a privilege and it's an honor that he uses me as his instrument in any capacity. And it's certainly not because of my skills or my abilities. It's because of his power working in me. And if I start to forget that, then my words are going to fall to the ground and have absolutely zero impact as well as yours. If we start to forget that, we will soon be pulling up empty nets as God sets us aside and finds a more usable vessel. It's only when he is working through us that we are effective. As the Bible says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. See, you can never be too small for God to use, but you can very quickly become too big. So I pray that God would help us to be small, that he'd help us to see ourselves as we are, that if we start thinking we're God's gift to humanity, that we fall and we fall hard. That we fall sooner rather than later because One of the most damaging things that can happen is for a believer to get arrogant and prideful, begin to think that they're God's gift. And as they rampage and they push through society, they end up doing more damage than good, hurting more people along the way, turning more people off to the gospel than turning them on to the gospel. In a deluded moment, you might begin to think of yourself as indispensable to the work of God. If so, you're on thin ice. I want to close this point with a story I read of a man who thought he was pretty great. He thought he was handsome. He thought he was strong. He thought he was intelligent. He really thought he was God's gift to humanity. More importantly, he thought he was God's gift to his wife. And he decided one evening to go to the fair with his wife, and they were walking around the fair, and they went into one of those penny arcades, and in the penny arcade was one of those scales that you can stand on that tells you your weight, but it also gives you a little card that tells you something about yourself. It gives you a little boost in who you are. Well, he stood on the scale, he put his money in, and he was delighted to receive the statement that he got from the weighing machine. And handing it to his wife, he said with much personal satisfaction, "Hey, honey, take a look at this." And he handed her the card, and she paused and picked up the card and looked at it, and then she began to read aloud, "You are dynamic, a born leader, handsome, and much admired by women for your personality." She paused, looked up at him, and then looked back down at the card, taking a second look. She added, "Well, it looks like I got your weight wrong too." You want to get a clear view of yourself, your strengths and your weaknesses? Ask the people close to you. It's good to have an accurate assessment of who we are, of our strengths and our weaknesses, to know the areas, our shortcomings, where we can get better, where we can grow. It's important to do so because it keeps us from getting an overinflated ego and a big head, and it keeps us in a place where we can be used by God. Our third and final point is the importance of your purpose. We've seen the identity of your purpose, the impairment to your purpose. The last thing we see is the importance of your purpose. Look at verse 4. "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." Attending church is not a spectator sport. It is important that you use the purpose that God has given you to impact people. See, the Bible compares it and our involvement in the church to being part of a family. Here in Romans, it compares it to being a part of a body. Now, this should be easy to understand because all you have to do is take a look at your hand. Hold it up. Take a look at it. Look at your fingers. Look at how they move in unison. You can make a fist. You can do things with it. Look at your nose. Do the little cross-eyed thing if you can. Look at your nose, like I said before. Look at your feet, your legs, how they move. Look at your body. And it should be really easy to understand that a hand can't exist without the rest of the body supporting it. I don't care what Adam's family says. If you cut your hand off, it's not going to run around your house and cause havoc. Your body needs the hand, and your hand needs the body. And God has commanded each and every one of us to be a functioning, vital part of the church. If you're a hand, and you choose not to be a part of the body, you're not just hurting yourself, you're also hurting the body. Because now the body has one less hand for which to do the work that it has been called to. And the purpose for which God has called the body of Christ to, not just globally, but locally, here in this city, the purpose that God has called this body, Calvary Albuquerque, to, is impaired if you refuse to fulfill your purpose as part of the body. If you refuse to rise up, if you refuse to step up, to serve, to be active in the body of Christ, if you say, "You know what? I don't want to be a hand. I want to be a head. You know what? I don't like being a toe. I want to be an eye. So I'm just not going to serve. I'm just not going to be used until I can do what I want to do." You're hurting the body. You're hurting the person next to you. You're hurting the person in front of you, behind you. You're hurting yourself because we're all connected to each other. Ephesians 4:15 says, "Speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head." That's right. None of us are the head. Jesus Christ is. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You know, there's somebody else in the Bible who didn't like the role that they had been given, who didn't like the purpose that God had made them for, and they decided that they wanted to be the head. That person's name was Satan. Didn't work out too well for him. He said, I don't want to serve my purpose. I don't want to fulfill the role that God has given me. I want to be the boss. I want to be the head. I don't like being the part that I've been called to fulfill. And he fell. 1 Corinthians 12:18 says, but in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. That means that God has put you exactly where he wants you. He's given you the gifting, the talents, and he has made you for the purpose that he wants you to fulfill. So if you question your gifting and your function in the body, you're questioning God. He says, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. There should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. You know, when we meet someone for the first time, one of the first things you notice about them is their eyes. You shake their hand, you look them in the eyes, and you notice their eyes. Then maybe you notice their face and their hair. You don't often notice their feet when you meet them for the first time. You don't often notice the liver. Hey, nice to meet you. What a great liver you have. You don't know what's going on inside. You don't see their liver. You don't see their heart. And yet, in spite of the beauty of their eyes or their hair, they couldn't function without those less noticeable parts of the body, like the internal organs. As a matter of fact, if their liver's sick, if their heart's sick, if their lungs are sick, their whole body's going to suffer because of it. Each and every part's important. Each and every part is needed, the visible parts and the non-visible parts. And we're not called to question the part or the purpose that we were made for. We're meant to serve the purpose that God has given us, recognizing that when each and every one of us serve our purpose, we can accomplish a far greater purpose than we ever could on our own individually. When you serve your purpose within the body of Christ, what you do is you enable the body of Christ to do things it could never do without you. You're important. You are needed in the body.
That wraps up Nate Heitzig's message from the series Heart and Soul. Now let's go into the studio with Skip and Lenya as they encourage you to get involved in a great ministry that is caring for kids around the world and sharing God's love with them.
Well, Lenya, today we heard a powerful message from our son. How wonderful is that to be able to say in a studio after all these years?
It's thrilling.
And his message was about purpose, and he mentioned that when we live in the purpose God has given us, we can impact others for him. Lenya, you knew that God was calling you to reach out with his love to a special group of people. Can you talk about that and how it led to your ministry called Reload Love?
Well, I think that God calls us to love our neighbor, but also to love our enemies. And His love for us is extravagant. It's an unconditional love.
I love that.
And one of my favorite books in the Bible when I got saved was James. And it was talking about being doers of the word, not just hearers only. And so back when ISIS was really a threatening group in the Middle East, and I saw the collateral damage of kids impacted by terror, my heart was moved. And I just wanted to know, God, how can I help those kids? How can I help kids caught in the crossfire of terrorism? And there's still terrorism all over the globe. So there's terrorism in Burma and so many other places. So anyway, I just asked God how I could help. And he gave me this idea of collecting spent bullet casings, making beautiful brass jewelry, and then the proceeds would help kids impacted by terror. And that's what started the journey, that this purpose was to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And he just happened to open doors all over the world. I mean, so he's just been so good that we have been in Uganda and in Pakistan and in Iraq and in Lebanon and Jordan. And so wherever there's terrorism, we ask God to give an opportunity to minister to the children impacted.
Beautiful. So the website is
reloadlove.com. Thanksgiving, Lenya. The Bible tells us all about God's radical love for us. And we want to take His word to more listeners like you so more people can fall even more in love with the Savior. Help keep the teachings you love from Skip on the air and online by giving a gift right now. Just pick up your phone and call 800-922-1888 to give. That's 800-922-1888. Or visit connectwithskip.com/donate. That's connectwithskip.com/donate. Thank you.
Tune in tomorrow as Skip's son, Nate Heitzik, talks about the different gifts of the Holy Spirit and why they are vital to your spiritual walk.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wood. Make a connection.
Connect with Skip Heitzik is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.